Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to a fan critical special. We have been allowed, the ladies of the podcast, to do a podcast specifically on Christmas films as we come into December to bring you all a little bit of festive joy.
Hello.
So, as you know, we often do a Christmas special. We love a Christmas movie. Everyone knows my favourite's Die Hard because it is a Christmas film. It's set at Christmas. It's a Christmas film. Pretty sure one of the Lethal Weapons is also a Christmas film for that reason. But I have a secret love. My secret love is terrible, romantic, Hallmark-esque Christmas movies. And that love is shared by the delightful Lucy.
Yes.
Lucy, can you tell our listeners, before we start talking about some things we may have seen or would recommend, what it is that makes a Hallmark-esque Christmas movie so special?
I think it's the comforting knowledge that everything's going to work out the way it has to. It's the fact that, you know, they're obviously filmed mid-spring and it's not cold at all, but everyone's wearing big coats trying to look cold. There's fake snow everywhere. I just love the... There's usually someone that doesn't believe in Christmas and needs to be shown the true magic of Christmas. It's comforting. It is undemanding. And it's just... The worse, the better, in my mind. People talk about these films and say they're not very good. I'm like, well, yeah, what do you want? If you want a good film, go and watch one. This is not about good films. This is about a certain feeling that can only come from Hallmark Christmas movies, or in the case of what I've been watching, Netflix, which have really branched out into crap, but I want to watch them, Christmas films.
And, you know, that's why I'm so excited to talk to you about this today, Lucy. I mean, there is something so delightful about the nonsense that is... a corny, Hallmark-esque, Channel 5-esque, Netflix-esque,
and
apparently.
You know what?
Christmas
you watch
film.
Enough of them and the same people, the same characters, the same actors, actresses appear. And actually, I think one of our bonding moments, Emma, many moons ago, I stayed over yours after a boozy night and hungover in the morning. You made me waffles, egg and cheese. And we watched a Hallmark film and you cried.
I did cry. And
I can't remember what
cry.
One it was called. It had Gretchen Wieners from Mean Girls in it, and she was an advertising exec that had a good idea about Christmas, and I actually think Santa might have made her wish come true, or that could be one of the other ones I watched.
But I mean, who knows? There are some tropes here.
They
that
are all the same.
There was also one that we watched that same day about a librarian who didn't really love Christmas until she fell in love and remembered the joy of Christmas. That was good.
Oh, yeah, and they had a nice shop. Was it? That bookshop?
Yeah.
Lovely bookshop.
It's delightful, isn't it? You've got to love
gold.
It. I mean, we're not going to say that we don't love all your traditional Christmas films. Muppets, Christmas Carol, Home Alone.
The good ones are very good.
Yeah. Love Actually, still watch that every year. Yeah. And that is that same storyline, you know. There's somebody who is all a bit grinchy, doesn't really believe in love, you know, and then they're turned around by an adorable child singing in a Christmas play, the Nativity, and then love is all around. Shall we say?
I mean, it's questionable watching it now, but I don't care because, you know, 2004 was a different time and we have to just accept that, okay? Certain things were acceptable then that now we look down on, but, you know, let's not judge that film by our standards today. Let's just watch it and pretend that we don't notice. That's what I say.
That is the best way to go about it. Now, Lucy, tell me, what is the most recent corny Christmas movie that you've watched that's brought a tear to your eye and joy to your soul?
Well, actually, one that I actually did feel a little bit like emotional about at the end was Netflix one, actually, not Hallmark. I've watched a few Hallmark, but they are so similar that I couldn't pick any of them out of the lineup, really. So the one I've watched three recently, actually, because we are getting our floor done downstairs. So every item of furniture from downstairs is upstairs, and we have to live in our bed. So I've watched a lot of films in bed from about 7:30 at night. So the film that I'm referring to, first and foremost, is called Single All the Way. And it is a gay Christmas film, finally. This is what the people have been waiting for. So, gay Christmas film, and it also stars my personal favourite actress in the world, Jennifer Coolidge, who she's just funny. Yes, as a drunk aunt. And I wish she was my drunk aunt because she's fantastic. And it also has Jocelyn from Schitt's Creek in it. And one of the witches, I want to say Mary from Hocus Pocus.
That is, and I mean, that's a hell of a cast.
Ugly Betty, you know, the sort of gay assistant. Mm-hmm. So the synopsis of this is, I'm going to get it up on Tinternet, even though I've watched it, I can't remember anyone's names. So, synopsis. Desperate to avoid his family's judgment about his perpetual single status, Peter convinces his best friend Nick to join him for the holidays and pretend they're now in a relationship. So, it doesn't pan out quite how you might think in that. I mean, I don't know if people want spoilers or not. Should I do mild spoilers?
I think you can minor spoil, yeah. Spoiler warning, okay. But minor spoil.
So
yeah.
he goes back home with Nick. And what I quite like about the film is that there's no like, oh, I have to hide, I'm gay. There's nothing like that. Everyone's like happy that he's gay. Everyone's really accepting, which is nice because no one wants homophobia at Christmas. No one wants it any time of year, but it has no place in the Christmas film or life in general. So he goes home with Nick. Nick very quickly, that's his best friend, is like, we're not doing this. I'm not going to pretend I'm going out with you. Like, I'm not going to lie to your family for 10 days. Fair enough. And mum wants to set him up with some handsome guy from the gym. And he's like, I don't really want to
go
do
on,
that.
Go on, mum.
But then meets handsome guy from gym. He's really handsome. And I looked him up. He's been in loads of Christmas films. So he's got one of those generic nice faces. But you can probably predict what happens in that.
Is there love?
Peter and Nick fall in love. But the way it's all done is actually really sweet. And by the end, I was quite like, I think these films always start and they're quite stilted and the chemistry wasn't quite there for me. And there's a few good set pieces. There is a sing-along dance routine to the Britney Christmas hit Santa, Can You Hear Me? Which I love.
Yes.
Or is it called My Only Wish This Year? I don't know. Yeah. And the guy, so Michael Urie from Ugly Betty plays... What's his name? I literally have just said his name and I've watched the film.
Peter, Nick. Peter or Nick.
Okay. He plays Peter. And Nick is played by Philemon Chambers, I think is how you say it. And he is really charming. I've not seen him in anything else, but I really enjoyed his presence and sort of when he's on screen and he's getting on with the family. I'm like, oh, you're nice. And yeah, Jennifer Coolidge just steals every scene she's in.
I'm so desperate to ask how she was because she can't be anything other than fabulous. And in a Christmas movie.
Yeah, a Christmas pageant for all the kids in the family. And she's just so like hilarious and demanding and just so funny. Like I would recommend it. And you know what? Something that we both share that we love about films. It's quite short. I think it's about an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh my God, that's delightful.
Yeah, I like that. Out of the three I watched recently, that would be my top pick.
Ooh, interesting. I think that might be on my list for the next time. So my other half does night shifts twice a week, which is great because it means I can watch whatever I want on Netflix.
Always a bonus, yeah.
I can cry at Christmas films and nobody else has to see it. So maybe that's on my agenda for the next night shift.
I would recommend it, yeah. I think it was, I liked it.
So if you could bloob that film, Lucy... and bearing in mind that bloobs aren't always about how masterfully the cinematography is or how wonderful the acting is. It might just be about the way it makes you feel. How many Christmas bloobles would you give it?
Do cranberries. Are they a bit more Christmassy or are you allowed to deviate? Well, I'd say three blueberry/cranberries. It's like just good. It's just good. It's just good. It's not
That's a solid
taxing.
Score.
Yeah, it's got some good things going for it. Good soundtrack. Yeah, I liked it.
I like the fact that, A, it's got two men falling in love, which I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
Any time of year, but you don't very
Why
often
not?
Get it. Secondly, there's a dance routine and a sing-along. I mean, how could you not love that? Mm, and three, Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah.
She's ticking all my boxes.
She is... I just love her. Is she acting? Who knows? Has she just turned up and that's what's come out? Probably, but she's great.
I mean, if that's the case, she's even more wonderful, right? Okay. So I rewatched last week something that you recommended to me last year, Lucy, which is a film called Christmas Wonderland.
Oh, is this the one with the painter?
Yeah, it is.
I remember. Oh, I love it. Hayley Joel Osment's sister. So.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah.
The lead.
Emily
Osment.
What's
her name? Emily, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. So I'll give you a brief synopsis and then we can talk about how beautiful this film is. So Heidi, who initially left her small town of Pleasant Valley with the dream of one day becoming a successful painter, has put her own art on hold to excel as an art gallery curator. And I'm adding, in the big city. Now, a week before the gallery's big Christmas party, she must return home to watch her niece and nephew. She comes face to face with her high school love, Chris, now a teacher, who is in over his head after he must find a new last-minute location for the Christmas dance.
Peril.
Cue Heidi offering to help. Some very awkward moments. A perfect setting for a dance that happens, I think, when they break down on a road somewhere and then they find this amazing barn.
Yeah, the barn.
Oh, so good. They decorate it amazingly. It's a Christmas barn. It's a barn just for Christmas. It's like Santa dropped it there. And then, you know, there's lots of decorating. There's a mural and, you know, as sparks start to fly, as Heidi thinks that she might not want to go back to the big city again. Big spoiler warning here, but they do fall in love and there's a lot of romantic kisses.
Kills it's beautiful. Surprise.
It's
do you
beautiful.
Want to know my favourite part of this film that I've not forgotten? The painting that she paints that's supposed to be so good and it's literally the worst thing
Oh my
thing
God.
Ever. Well, it's so not the worst thing ever, but it's not
it
high
is
art.
Terrible. It's terrible.
It's like, so bright. Why is it so bright?
So there's
where's every colour in it?
Oh my God. So what's wonderful about this is she works in this really kind of very modern arty.
High end, isn't it?
Yeah, high end gallery in New York or, you know, fantasy New York. And, her art is never up on the gallery walls because she's not quite good enough. And she's like lauded as this amazing painter. And then she does this one thing and everyone's like, oh my God, it's so amazing. The camera pans around. I immediately picked up my phone and went, Lucy, what the fuck is this? It looked like something my four-year-old nephew does.
It's paint by numbers type thing when you just put a blob of colour in each
Yeah,
bit.
It was paint by numbers. It was so bad.
I mean, I haven't forgotten it.
I will say that overall, her decorative skills for the Christmas dance were spectacular.
Stick to that, not the painting, love, because that's, you know.
If anything, she should have a career change to be a Christmas dance party planner / decorator. But I did, I don't know, there's just something really adorable about it. And I think I like to liken my own journey to some of these films. You know, I went and lived in the big city for 12 years. Last year, I moved home to the countryside. I don't live in Yorkshire. Don't know why
that was
did that
weird
accent.
Inclusion of accents.
The countryside.
In the countryside.
Reignited a young, you know, teenage love flame.
You really yeah. are living the Hallmark life.
I'm living the Hallmark life. And now I live with said flame.
And he's a fireman, so it's just a perfect
and
analogy.
He's a firefighter, like it's perfect. I've come home from the big city to the countryside, fallen in love with my old childhood sweetheart. That's not quite how I'd describe our relationship, you know, close enough.
No,
I am living the Hallmark dream.
You are, and it's Christmas now, and maybe this is your first Christmas together.
In our own house.
You just need a dance routine and a song like choreography and you know you're there pretty much,
or a
and
snowball
you need to
fight.
Have not believed in Christmas but now you do because of Joe's love. Is that, would you say that's the case?
I think that's definitely the case. I didn't believe in Christmas last year. This year I believe in Christmas. I believe in Christmas so much just because of the festive love. Ah, cozy nights in. Do you want to go out tonight, darling? No, let's just stay in.
Definitely not. Let's just watch Hallmark films because our life reflects them.
I didn't realise, actually, I am living the Hallmark life.
I'm so jealous. Have you opened a bakery recently that was going to get shut down by an evil conglomerate? Because that happens a lot, more than you
think. But maybe I should. Or maybe I should start a market stall for, I don't know, one of my hidden creative talents in the local.
Candles.
Sort of. Candles. Could do candles. I make pretty boxes.
Oh, there's scope here. I mean, another question I would have for you. Are you, or have you ever been, or is Joe royalty? Because there's a lot of princes in these films.
Well, we have discovered that my stepmom is descended from Henry VIII.
Oh, cool. I think a lot of us are, no offense, but...
No.
But it's still good.
I might be descended from a pirate.
Which one? Christmas pirate?
Maybe a Christmas pirate. That could be it. I could be a Christmas pirate princess.
See, I've not seen that yet. They've not done much in the way of Christmas piracy in these films. I think that could, you know...
It's an idea we could pitch, isn't it? Lucy, you just mentioned princes. Can you talk to me about some Christmas princey films? I believe there's a trilogy.
I can. So you've had The Princess Switch, okay? I'm going to say 2019, I believe. Vanessa Hudgens twice, which is, you know, the minimum amount of Vanessa Hudgens I want in any film. She's got to be in there at least twice. So she plays an English accented princess of what's it called, Montanaro, not a real country, and she's got a doppelganger who's like an American baker. That's the first film, and they switch, and I think the princess falls in love with her, with the American one's friend, and then she, who does she fall in love with? Oh, there's another prince. There's a prince from Fitzrovia or some other made-up country. And then the second one, a third Vanessa Hudgens is entered, and she's like the wild child, like it girl, made in Chelsea type. She's really fun. I can't remember what she does. I think she tries to pose as the queen, something like that. And then this third one, Princess Switch 3, Romancing the Star, the Vatican, no
the
less.
The Vatican is in, yes, this Princess Switch,
yes,
3.
Immediately upon watching it happen. So a cardinal, I don't know if it's the Vatican or if they call it the Vatical, because obviously nothing is real. I might have to rewatch just for that. But a cardinal comes and he is lending the Star of Peace to the people of Montari. I'm not even reading this, I just remember this. The people of Montanaro. And it was, it's like a priceless relic that was once owned by Saint Peter himself. So the Vatical, you know, you're not going to sue us. The Vatical has brought it to Montanaro for Christmas, and it gets stolen really quickly. And we have no idea why.
Wait, hold on. Are there four Vanessa Hudgenses in this film?
Only three. But at one point, they're all dressed up as the same one. So the blonde one is Fiona, not a very posh English name, but they're basically like, oh my God, how are we going to find this? The police are stumped. And rather than just letting the police do their work, they're like, oh, who would know about dodgy people? Oh, our wild child cousin, Fiona, get her around. So she turns up with this, yeah, like bad Made in Chelsea accent, but I love it. She's having a lot of fun, and she gets in contact.
Is she wearing a leather jacket? Because she's edgy?
No, but she wears a lot of thigh-high boots. Looking very good. And blonde hair with roots. Yeah. And then she gets in touch with an old flame who is like a poor man's Henry Golding. I said that to Aaron. He was like, I was just thinking that. Like, not really that handsome, but, you know, that type of man who used to work for Interpol. I don't know why I'm doing the whole plot. But anyway,
I'm really enjoying it.
The focus is very much on Fiona, the British wild child, more than the others, which is good because they're quite boring. And this Vanessa Hudgens has a lot of fun in this role, particularly. And she had to do community service for her crimes in the last one, so she's in some nunnery. It's all filmed in Scotland. Stunning. So many lovely castles, real snow.
Yeah.
Filmed on location. Looks really good. Looks really authentic. But the funniest thing is, okay, so Star of Peace has been stolen. Terrible. Was a relic, you know, St. Peter's. But I don't know if it's too much of a spoiler, but at one point, this priceless relic is just put on top of a Christmas tree, like the star on top of a Christmas tree. And it looks like a Christmas tree decoration. And, you know, this was owned by a disciple of Christ, okay? And they've put it on top of a Christmas tree, which is hilarious to me. But I enjoyed it. I did fall asleep, but that's because I was in bed. Because I don't have a downstairs at the moment. It's not the film's fault. My one criticism, well, there's probably more than one.
A criticism?
I don't know if you find this with films, Christmas films. When they're actually quite good and actually have quite a decent plot, they're not very Christmassy. This film is set at Christmas. Okay, there's lots of trees. You know, St. Peter's relic is on top of a tree. It's not very festive. It's not very Christmassy. because it's got like a heist plot where they have to go and try and steal the star back, you know, a bit like Ocean's 11, but
it's like sort of Love Actually crossed with Taken.
You could say that. There's less sex trafficking. I mean, there's none, to be honest. It's sort of like Ocean's 11 crossed with The Christmas Prince. I enjoyed it, and I think Vanessa Hudgens in this, the role of the wild child, it girl, crazy chick, is really good, and she is obviously having a lot of fun. The other characters, the other two Hudgens, are quite meh in comparison, so they don't have much screen time, which is good. So I really enjoyed it. More Christmas films should involve royalty from made up countries, in my opinion. Film everything in Scotland because it's gorgeous. Vanessa Hudgens, next one I want at least 4 minimum. There needs to be another one somewhere. There's a scene where she tangos with herself. Like, how? That's not an innuendo.
What?
She tangos with herself. It's really good.
That, I mean, that's impressive.
It is. I am only going to give it 3 blueberries / cranberries / stars of peace. I think, you know, for a shit Christmas film, that was really good. It's the best of the three, I'd say. Have you not seen them?
No.
Come on.
I know, it's disgraceful, isn't it, really?
It's like not seeing The Godfather. I would say trilogy. You should only see the first two, but come on.
I mean, it's like we've all of a sudden fallen into, how the fuck have you not seen that Hallmark film?
How the fuck have you not seen 2 Princess Bride? Princess Switches.
Hey, I'm not Len. I have seen The Princess Bride multiple times.
Oh, that's quite, that could be quite a good segue, actually, if you don't mind me jumping in again.
You go for it. I'm really enjoying your remembrance of plots.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the single All the Way was better, but I couldn't really remember the names. So the last one, it was actually the first one I watched, but the last one I'm going to talk about is called A Castle for Christmas. And it stars Brooke Shields and man like
what?
Kerry Elwes. How do you say his name? But he's in The Princess Bride. So I thought I would segue into that. So I did, again, I fell asleep in this, but that was because I was in bed. Brooke Shields, and it's good to see an older woman as the protagonist, romantic interest. I mean, obviously she looks like Brooke Shields, so meh. She's a very famous author whose last book, like in a really popular series, she killed off the main guy, like the love interest, and everyone's really angry. And people suspect that it's based on her failed relationship. She goes on the Drew Barrymore chat show. So Drew Barrymore pops up a bit. Quite funny. And then I can't remember exactly why, but she's got like some ancestry in Scotland, as all the Yanks do, or Ireland. So she goes back to this castle. I think it's called like Castle Dunbar. And is met by a grumpy duke played by Kerry Elwes with a creditable Scottish accent. So she's getting to know the castle, and she's sort of saying that she's going to buy it off him, and he's sort of like, you're not going to buy it, but if no one buys it, it's just going to fall into disrepair. One of them ones, you know, is, you know, you have these great estates, but you haven't got the money to upkeep them, and that's the problem with the landed gentry in this country. But hey ho. So Kerry Elwes is grumpy duke. She is sort of spirited Yank. There's lots of locals in it that are quite fun and Scottish. It's filmed in Scotland again, so gorgeous scenery, and you might have guessed it, they fall in love. Seems to happen quite quickly, because they hate each other and then randomly start to be attracted to each other, which is weird. But, you know, 2 older stars in it, lovely scenery. She wears quite a nice tartan ball dress, which she's just found and I think belonged to either his dead mother or his dead wife. I'm like, why are you just putting on clothes that you find in a castle, Brooke? Come on. That sort of thing doesn't fly in the UK. We have manners. But it was probably the worst of the three that I watched, because I did fall asleep, and I you know, it's predictable, but it didn't even bother working too hard to convince me, because I didn't feel like why would they like each other? He's really grumpy. They didn't like each other, and then suddenly they do. I know that love works in mysterious ways, but I need a little bit more interplay before the love happens.
I mean, it does, but, you know, it shouldn't be full on, you know, predictable, should it? I'm intrigued by the fact that we've got Brooke Shields in a film, because I don't remember the last time I've ever seen her in a film.
No, I mean, genuinely. I can't think of any film she's in, but I know who she is. What films is she in? Or is she just beautiful and that's why we know her? I remember her in Friends when she was crazy.
Genuinely cannot think of a film.
Oh, she's in Chalet Girl, which I have seen. And yeah, and Hannah Montana the movie, which I haven't seen. She plays Miley's mum in that. So that's cool. But anyway, really? Yeah. Yeah, oh, she was in Nip Tuck for a bit. But
oh, yeah. Yes, I remember in that. We're not, that was great, that series.
There's not much, but she's just nice to look at. And she does look a bit, like, facelifty, but maybe she's just got a good jaw, you know. Who knows?
Maybe.
But, yeah, sort of fine. Nice scenery, I would say.
Well,
if you like Scotland, which who doesn't? It's nice.
And Lucy definitely does. I also do, you know. Scotland,
I'd love
great.
To return.
Oh, return to the Scotland, to the Highlands. Speaking of returning, I returned recently to an old childhood favourite Christmas film that I think possibly stands the test of time.
Ooh.
I have very, very fond memories of a film that came out, I think, when we were both small. And I'm going to pull up the synopsis for you and see if you can guess it.
Okay.
From said synopsis. I'm not going to tell you who stars in it because that will give it away. So the short synopsis on IMDb is this. A lawyer and a little girl must prove that a man claiming to be Santa Claus the real thing.
Of course. This is an absolute classic.
It is, of course.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes.
The original or the remake?
Well, obviously the one with Matilda and Richard Attenborough. Because how could you not love it? And I'll be honest, it was one of the most joyful, like, 2 hours I've spent in years. Because it was nostalgic. I mean, it was sad because, you know, Richard Attenborough.
Is he dead?
Yes. Yes, he died in 2014. It was tragic.
Well, was it? Because he would have been old.
He was 90.
It's not tragic, I'm sorry. Like, good innings, well done, Dickie. But
I mean, he did
say
well.
Tragic. He did very well.
He did do well.
His brother David's still alive. That's all I care about.
Just protect David. Protect him. But there's something, it's very charming, you know, and it's got a modern twist. Obviously, Kris Kringle, you know, we've got to prove he's the real Santa Claus. And Mara Wilson, who never really acted again after the mid-90s.
No.
Did she? I mean, she basically nailed her career as Matilda and the little girl in Miracle on 34th Street. And
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'm a bit cautious about going back and watching things I loved as a child because I sort of feel like 30 years later, may they have been ruined by the fact that we have maybe a clearer vision on what is right and wrong in the world.
Yes.
But I didn't feel like this was a problem. It was adorable. Richard Attenborough he's perfect as Kris Kringle, Santa Claus. He's all cuddly and the beard is amazing.
Cheerful.
And, it's beautiful. And I will say, if you feel like a real nostalgic Christmas movie, moving away from the Hallmarks, it is 100% always worth going back to see it. So I've been doing, for Christmas, I do Christmas hampers because I don't know what to buy adults anymore.
No.
So I make stuff. And for some reason, I decided I would make boxes to hold things in. Very unimportant for the podcast. Unless we're, you know, starting doing crafting critical. But that took a long time. And that's why I put on Miracle on 34th Street. And it just brought me so much unbelievable, gentle joy.
That is lovely. I do think there is something just so comforting about 90s films. I've watched, not Christmassy, but like a lot of 90s rom-coms recently because there's just something very...
You can't beat them.
Reassuring, snuggly and comforting about them. I don't know if you ever had this VHS. We had Disney's Very Merry Christmas songs when we were young and we watched it all the time. So I was like, oh, I wonder if we can find it. It's not on Disney Plus, which is a bit of a jip, but you can find it on YouTube. So I was like, I'm going to watch it with my little daughter. And she loved it. And now she's like, Mickey Mouse, Jingle Bells. She wants to watch it. Sometimes I put it on.
Oh, that's too cute.
No. But yeah, I felt such a nice moment. Like, I grew up loving this, VHS. And now she watches it. But in my mind, it was like, you know, feature length. It's about 27 minutes long. So it's not as long
as
I remember.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, it's really short.
I remember that being, maybe it just played on repeat. Like, I remember that going on for hours.
Yeah, probably just had a loop. And yeah, all like the little characters in the background. It's just really sweet and like cute songs. And yeah, I loved it. I'm still going to watch it throughout. But yeah, that was another little nostalgic memory moment for me too.
I think there's something really magical about Christmas time. Although I and our listeners, I work with a lot of Americans, and I have a post-it on my computer that says the word holidays. Because it's not Christmas, it's the holiday season.
Holidays are coming. Holidays are coming.
Holidays are coming.
I don't think I've even seen that advert yet. So is it even Christmas without that advert?
That's a very good point. Where's the Coca-Cola truck?
I love how Coca-Cola have just co-opted Christmas, because what is Christmassy about Coca-Cola? Nothing. But somehow that advert is like the onset of the holidays, as they say. It's crazy. Well done. Good marketing.
Excellent marketing. And that advert's been going without any changes for about 40 years.
Yeah. Long may it
definitely
continue.
Ah, may it indeed. I feel very festive, Lucy. If you could recommend one film to me to watch, Lucy, to get me in the Hallmark Christmas spirit, what would it be?
Ooh, out of them three or another one? You know what? I'm going to look back to last year. I actually watched a really good one. I can't remember the name, but I think if you Google the synopsis, it's a woman. The actress is a wheelchair user, and it never is really mentioned. It's not like a point of trauma.
Excellent.
Yeah, very good. And she is an author who goes back to her, I think, her uncle's cabin. And I don't understand. I can't really remember why or how it worked, but she meets a guy there that basically looks exactly like the guy that is on the cover of her romance stories. So
I'm getting Misery vibes here. So
I mean, you could say that it doesn't end like that.
I really hope it ends in romance, Liz.
It does, but she goes back to her uncle's cabin. I think her parents died or something. There's usually some tragedy, isn't there? And she sort of falls in love with him, and I think she thinks he's really familiar, and then she's like, oh my god, it's the same guy from the cover of my books, but I can't remember how that comes about. But I would recommend that just off the top of my bonce. And I watched another one recently on Channel 5. Again, they all have the same name. So it's like Christmas and something. But it's two real estate agents.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. Who are both fighting to sell this lovely old hotel in Christmas thing. But the owners are like, you have to stay here with us and we'll decide who gets the listing, which is a really weird way of doing it. But
no,
he's Australian and quite annoying. And she's American and not as attractive as him. Not being rude, but he's quite, you know, generically attractive. And no, they fall in love. But out of the three I mentioned, I would recommend Single All the Way.
Brilliant. Well, I've got my entire weekend planned now.
Yeah, I want to know what you think when you watch it.
Super excited. And anyone listening, if you have a recommendation for Lucy or I, Lucy's probably watched all of them.
I'm going to. I want to watch.
Know, and will.
I think it's called Love Hard. That's apparently a Christmas film. But I haven't got round to it yet.
It is.
By the way.
It is.
Do you find, though, you watch all these crud ones and then you're like, when am I going to actually watch the good ones? When will I start watching Home Alone and Elf and, you know, Muppets? I need to, you know, get on that.
It's not really Christmas till you've done the Muppets Christmas Carol, is it?
Oh, that's the absolute pinnacle of Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm. It is. I think we'll be planning a Muppets Christmas Carol night in our house. So
Aaron doesn't
really
have, like, has no interest.
Christmas
had never watched it until last year. I was like, I feel like you're ruining my Christmases by just not acknowledging the Muppets. But I will change that, and it will become a family tradition.
Absolutely, that is the way it should be. Well, listeners, any recommendations that you have, please let us know on any of our social media channels. If you're listening to us, you know what they are: Instagram, Twitter, the Facebook. Etc. I really look forward to some random recommendations.
Yeah,
actually,
I'm always up for a new Christmas film.
Yeah, it's probably loads that we haven't
also
watched.
I was just gonna say another one that I really liked.
Oh,
you may have seen
she's got more.
It's Netflix, but it's animated. Klaus.
I have not.
It's so good. It was out last year. I'm actually gonna watch it again this year. I think it's a Spanish animation. Really, really good. Very good. So
international Christmas animation.
Yes, all the voice acting is American, obviously, but I believe the director and the production was Spanish.
Oh,
sorry to keep interrupting, but I keep remembering other films I've seen.
No, thoroughly enjoying it, Lucy. Your repertoire of Christmas movies is
unmatched.
Quite stunning. Unrivaled.
I'm just so busy all the time. Like, but you've watched all these films. Like, yes, busy watching films.
Yes, busy falling asleep watching films about Christmas. It's December.
That's my life.
Lucy, any other honourable mentions? Or have we exhausted your repertoire of Christmas movies?
I quite like there's a series now of like Christmas in Vienna. You know, there's a few of them sort of ones. Christmas in European countries. There was a Christmas in Rome one, which I didn't watch it all. I might try and catch it. You know.
Did they visit the Vatican?
Did the Vatican for the Star of Peace, which is just used as a, you know, as a Christmas decoration. It's like, get the Shroud of Turin and use it as tinsel. Okay, yes, that's a good idea.
God,
I know,
the blasphemy. So was that Americans in Europe for Christmas
yeah I don't know if they fall in love with other Europeans. I think Christmas in Vienna she does. Christmas in Rome, the guy looked American to me, like, yeah, get a nice Italian in there, come on.
Okay, now I'll add them to my list. By the time we get around to January, we'll be doing a kind of Christmas Hallmark movie recap, just the two of us, for like 3 hours.
Yeah, not even record it, we're just gonna need to discuss just for them fun. At length
we will. In depth. Well, thank you, Lucy. This has been a festive joy talking to you about romantic, corny, Hallmark-esque films. Who knew Netflix were venturing into that area? Well done.
Do you think one day you'll get like a Christmas film that has like sex in it? You know, you fall in love at Christmas, you have sex.
No.
Okay, that's, it's just
that's
me
not how it works.
That might happen.
I don't want to be that progressive. I just, you know, take it easy.
There's never any passion. Down. It's just love.
It's romance, Lucy.
I suppose it is the season.
It is the season for romance. On an entirely different topic, next week you will be getting the lads chatting about Spider-Man.
Hashtag lads.
Hashtag lads. So enjoy the festivities here, because I doubt you'll get anywhere near the level of joy we've had in the last 40
detail.
Minutes. Or detail, as you will with them. But we will be back soon with another episode of Something Old, Something New.
It's all going to
be
Christmas
and maybe a Christmas
films.
Recap. Yeah. It is all going to be Christmas films. We've
I've
essentially
watched Elf
done that.
For the 80th time. Let's discuss it.
I watched Die Hard 7 times in December, and it was still as good as the first time I ever saw it.
Let's do it.
But if you don't hear our dulcet tones beforehand, we wish you all a very happy holidays and a merry, merry Christmas. Stay safe. Warm, and don't forget to leave the city, go back to your small town, and find love.
Do it while you can.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you for hosting.
You're welcome, and we'll see you all soon. Bye.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.